From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Happy Friday, everybody. TGIF, everyone. And welcome back to Sports Talk. Here we go on the 16th day of August 2024. The final day of the Michael Plundo Sports Talk residency for the summer. That's right. He's like you two over at the Sphere. You enjoy it, you pack it up, you get the fans there, and then eventually it has to come to an end. And this is it. The end of the Plundo residency for the summer of 2024. Adrian, an emotional day for all of us.
Yeah, man. I'm bummed, man. Michael, I felt like he came here to us a sophomore, and he left a man. So, you know, it's going to be exciting to watch from afar. He's joining Raider Vision. Maybe we see him on TV at some point. Maybe he's, you know, doing a little soccer, maybe some volleyball, maybe some, you know, football even. But what I have to say about Michael Plundo and his second time around here at 600 ESPN El Paso is he's grown up in a very big way. He's handled SportsCenter, he's handled segments, he's handled co-hosting duties, and he's handled a great series on our website, by the way, all the predictions for every division across the NFL, and he wrapped it up all throughout the summer.
I love it. He came to us a boy, he left a man. I think that is a great way, Adrian, to describe what Michael's been like to us. That is terrific. Although I'll say this, I remember the very first day of his internship last summer. He wasn't shy either. He just grabbed the microphone like it was meant to be, and it's been like that ever since.
He's a natural, man, and it's been, you know, it's a treat to have him here. I hope he comes back. I hope, you know, I know he's got big things ahead for him in the future, so I want Michael Plundo to be high in demand. I want people to also see how talented this guy is across the state of Texas and really Lubbock. So I don't know, Steve, maybe we have to bring a sleeping bag out to Lubbock one time, or, you know, a sleeping mattress or something, crash at the frat house like Michael Plundo has talked about, and, you know, stomach it or something for a weekend.
Would you go streaking down the quad with Michael if it came down to it out there in Lubbock after a Tech game?
I don't know, man. All I have to say is if there's no cameras around, I can't be blamed for anything I do for Michael Plundo out in Lubbock.
So, it wasn't quad. Go. What was it? What was it in old school? They're going streaking down the where'd they go?
The quad? Is
was
that,
it the quad? Or
yeah.
Was it the quad? I don't remember. Michael, do you remember that scene when he was going streaking where they were going?
I remember it, but it's leaving off the top of my head. No, I couldn't tell you.
I mean, I'm trying to remember, too, exactly where they were going. I know as they were going streaking, I'm just trying to remember where.
Yeah, I think it is the quad. I think it's streaking the quad.
Was it really? Going streaking down the quad?
Yes, yes.
It was. We're going up to the quad and then to the gymnasium is what it was. That's right. They're going streaking. I'm happy I remembered that, going streaking down the quad.
So you're already ready, Steve. So we could live broadcast on Friday. Who knows what's going to happen in the evening. Maybe catch a Red Raider game. Maybe it's in an October game. So, you know, we can actually be there on a Saturday or something like that. But we need the full Tech experience if that's the case. Maybe if it's not football, maybe it's basketball. But we got to make it happen at some point.
I'll tell you this much. I know one person who's going to be there for sure. His tag team partner, Alberto Urieta.
Yes, I would be. I love Lubbock. I would love to go up there, maybe catch a football game. We should definitely do that.
You think so? Okay.
I mean,
can Plundo get us Red Raider good football tickets? Do we have to get credentialed? What are we doing here, Michael?
Absolutely, I can hook you guys up. Don't you worry about that.
Okay. And then we can eat well. We can go have a boys' weekend out in Lubbock, Texas.
That's
something I haven't done that's on the old bucket list that we got to cross off. That's right up there with going to see Billy Joel at the Garden. Let's go to Lubbock and go hang out with Plundo and crash on his in his place for a weekend.
You know, I was thinking, I want to go to Disney World. I want to go to, you know, I want to go to the Sphere in Vegas. I want to go make a trip out to New Orleans, you know, for the Super Bowl next year and stuff like that. But on the radar, too, along with all of those things, it's Lubbock, I guess.
I know who would sponsor our trip.
Who?
Sarah Farms.
Oh, there we go.
He loves Plundo.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Pat from Sarah Farms thinks Plundo's a god. I mean, the first time he came back to the radio station, he texted me and he goes, "Hey, I heard a rumor that Plundo's back." I mean, like, seriously. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, hey, Michael, you should be drinking Sarah Farms milk for the rest of your life, thanks to Pat.
Absolutely. The Byrne family, they're a great family. We've known them for a couple years now. We're very close to them. Pat Byrne, great guy. Love being around him. His wife, Sarah, is a sweetheart. And they got three amazing kids and all around just a great family.
Yeah, one of their kids is good friends with Joel. So that's exactly. So there we go. We already have a sponsor for our trip out in Lubbock. That's simple
there you
as
go.
That.
We could, and then we can actually deliver Sarah Farms milk to Michael, you know?
Yes.
And he could have his whole fridge stocked up. Maybe take some product picks with the frat and stuff like that. There
yeah.
you go.
And then maybe after Tech wins, he can go get himself a milk bath and start, taking one of those milk things, open it up, and shoot it all over the place, and we're good to go.
Yeah, I think we're really talking here, Steve. This needs to happen. This might have to, be put in place. Might have to check the Big 12 schedule. You know, maybe they're playing Utah, maybe they're playing Colorado or something crazy like that.
Michael, you can say no, and we're giving you an out now, because if this does go down, you might like say to yourself, God, why didn't I just shoot this down when I had the chance back in the middle of August here at the radio station? Are you sure this is something you would like to happen?
Absolutely, Steve. Why wouldn't I? That's what I'm thinking right now.
Know.
Why wouldn't I?
Because you don't know what you're getting into, especially with Alberto showing up. That could be the wild card. When Alberto comes, anything's possible.
Well, don't worry. We'll bring, I got someone to watch Alberto, so we'll keep an eye on him. Don't worry.
All right. Fair enough. I'm looking at the schedule, by the way. We have Arizona State. We have Cincinnati. We've got Baylor. We have Colorado, West Virginia. They open up against Abilene Christian. There's North Texas. I don't know. We'll figure something out.
Yeah. We have a lot of options.
Boy, I mean, I never got so excited about going to Lubbock, Texas until today. That's going to be fantastic.
Have some good Italian food. Go to some of the spots that
Michael
has. Yeah,
we'll go to Stella's.
There you go. Michael's also told us a lot of cool watering holes as well in Lubbock, so we'll have some fun.
Yeah, maybe we'll go meet up with the Brad Taylor, who runs the Chihuahuas, because his kid's going to Texas Tech as well.
There it's funny go. How like Lubbock is kind of like, you know, where all the kids who want to leave El Paso, it feels like a lot of kids
really?
Go mm-hmm. to college at Texas Tech. Like this generation, you see a lot of kids going to Texas Tech.
Do you know that over the years, I've been to Waco, I've been to Austin, I went to school in Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, Houston. I've even done the Midland-Odessa experience for high school football. But you know, I've never done Lubbock, and I've never done College Station.
Oh, interesting, man.
Yeah.
We need an intern from Texas A&M.
Do
eventually.
We?
Eventually. Maybe not. We're, you, know,
you do remember
I
where I
saying.
Went to college. Do we really?
Nah, is and that, especially they share the same conference.
Yeah, I know.
There's only room for one SEC person here.
So true. Anyway. All right, well, listen. Michael, I hope you have a great last show. Do you want to just handle all sports centers today, Michael? You want to do top and bottom of the rest of the day?
I would love to. I would love to go out strong, so
all
I think
right.
that's a good way to do it.
Fantastic. I'm happy for you. We'll do that. So, Michael Plundo today, the rest of the day, folks. It's Plundo Day here on Sports Talk is what it is. We got a lot to cover, a lot happening. We have Chihuahuas tonight. I'll be heading to the ballpark as soon as the show's over. Looking forward to watching them play. Last night, by the way, they got the game in, but man. It was raining around El Paso last night. It was coming down.
You know, one of the videos that the Chihuahuas social media team, by the way, social media team for the Chihuahuas has really been upped over the past couple of years. Love their social media. And it's always been solid, but recent years they've been really up in their game. But they posted this video of a person who looked at the camera. She had a margarita in her hand. She looked at the camera, and it's pouring. You can tell it's pouring rain, but she's in, like, the suite area, and she just chugs it for the camera. So those are funny moments. I bet it went viral, and I bet there was a lot of people who picked up on it, but it was a great video that
Instagram
posted.
Instagram or Twitter next?
Yeah, it was Instagram. I'll send it over to you.
Oh, I'm just going to jump in right now, see if I can find that during the break. That's great. I'm looking forward to that. So, yes, in fact, Andy Enfield's in his final weekend for the Chihuahuas, so I'll look forward to that. I was thinking about this. Did you ever get an Andy Enfield bobble hair doll?
Oh, I didn't.
I didn't
I
either.
Didn't. I
And you know, it came
it.
With real hair.
Yes.
I want to know if it was really his hair.
That's true. It could have been. He's grown a lot of flows over the years.
I wonder if maybe he kept all his hair in a bag and then they just used it to make his bobble hairs.
That's very possible. Or, you know, they've got somebody who just plucks some of the hair that he doesn't need, you know, on top of his head. So,
yep.
Yeah, he can make it happen.
Did you hear the news today about the fact that the Dallas Cowboys made an offer recently to CeeDee Lamb?
Ooh, did they really?
According to the Dallas Morning News, The Cowboys offered CeeDee Lamb slightly under $33 million per season. This was prior to the departure to Vegas for the second preseason game in an effort to get a deal done, according to the Dallas Morning News. Now, just under $33 million, okay? You kind of say to yourself, well, where does that fall in line with some of the highest paid players at the position? Because that's the first thing I'd want to know, right? You'd want to know exactly where that contract falls. And that's something I'm going to try to figure out right now because, Adrian, that seems like awfully good money to me. We just don't know how long the contract is.
Yeah, and you know, you're talking about, first off, $33 million a season, which would put him over the Chris Jones amount and actually over the Justin Jefferson amount, right around there. Like, Justin Jefferson's like $35 a year, $140,000 guaranteed, or $140 million guaranteed over the, I guess, 4 years that he recently signed. Davante Adams, actually, $28 a season. So you're getting more than Davante Adams if you're CeeDee Lamb, but just a little under the Justin Jefferson mark, which I feel like that's probably fair right there for CeeDee Lamb if that was the deal.
So that's right, because you're right. A.J. Brown is at 32. Mm-hmm. Amon Ross St. Brown is 30. Same with Tyreek Hill. And then, you know, you look at all the others. So let's just stay. But here's the thing, okay? Say it's $33 million. Are we talking, you think it's going to be probably 3 years and $99 million is what we could be talking about? Do you think? Because for a guy like CeeDee Lamb at his age, wouldn't you want to go 5 years?
I would. I would want to go because 5 years. I would want, you know, if that's the case, so it's probably closer to like $170 million, if that's the case.
But that would make him the highest receiver in the game. How would he say no to that? So chances are, if the Cowboys really offered him $33 million a year, maybe they gave him a three-year deal. Maybe that's what we're talking, like under 100, because right now St. Brown is at 120 total. Davante Adams is 140. DJ Moore is 110. Justin Jefferson is 140. Don't you think that if they gave him a five-year deal over 150 and he could be the highest-paid player, he would have signed yesterday?
Of course. I mean, Justin Jefferson, if you're making more than him right there, that would just be the surefire, right? It could, because he set the bar, and everybody's trying to be paid as much or close to the Justin Jefferson amount. Now, maybe CeeDee's trying to be the highest-paid receiver in the league, and maybe he's just trying to up the ante, right? Because Jamar Chase also needs to get paid, Steve. That's the other guy who's kind of waiting there as far as top receivers go. So if you're talking about another guy who makes a lot of money, maybe you look at Jamar Chase to maybe reset this market too.
Because if they gave him $132 million, which would be 4 years at $33 million a year, and whatever, however much is guaranteed, you know, $132 million is still below Justin Jefferson. It's still below Davante Adams' total dollars. It will probably be below Jamar Chase. It's above St. Brown, and it's also above DJ Moore. So he would be the third highest paid receiver in total dollars. But that's not what CeeDee wants. CeeDee wants to be the highest paid receiver. You don't want to be third now, because if you're third now, you might be fifth next year and tenth the year after that. So you probably want a five-year deal, so at least when the contract is signed, you're the highest paid receiver.
So if I'm CeeDee's agent, my argument is, look, this is an offense that loves to throw the ball. You're telling me that Ezekiel Elliott is your solution in the ground game? No. This is going to be a passing team, and there's a chance that CeeDee Lamb could lead the NFL in receiving yards if things go right and if they stick to what their motto is. So if I'm CeeDee's agent right there, I'm arguing, hey, wait. If you're going to make him one of the most, if not the most productive offensive weapons in the receiving game across the NFL, and he needs to be paid that way.
And by the way, one thing to say about the deal that Davante Adams signed for $140 million, there's only 16% guaranteed, okay? So of the $140, the only amount he was guaranteed was $22.7 million. So that's a terrible contract. I mean, they can get out of that whenever they want. So the funny part is, not just the $33 million a year, how much of it is actually guaranteed money? Because when you go down the list, the receiver with the highest percentage guarantee for the larger deals is Justin Jefferson. His guaranteed salary per year is $22.1 million. largest salary.
Yeah, and it's well-deserved for somebody who's the best at that position right now, in my opinion. Number one at that spot, Justin Jefferson. He's deserving of that. The Davante Adams one's interesting, Steve. That tells me that if the Raiders and a trade partner were out there this season, that the Raiders could get a haul. Because if I'm a team out there who's a contender and I think, wait, I could get Davante for this season and maybe sign him to another 3-year deal after this season to make him happy, I would probably do it. Like, yeah. If I'm the Jets and I just think I need that one receiver, true. Oh, let's pair Davante Adams back up with Aaron Rodgers.
I'm hearing you. All right, 18 pass. Good start to the show. We'll keep an eye on things with CeeDee Lamb and see if the Cowboys can make a deal this weekend. Speaking of the Cowboys, they've got Vegas tomorrow. That's going to be big. We'll talk to Christy Scales in the 6 o'clock hour for the Dallas Cowboys update. Plus, we got Michael Plundo, bottom of the hour for SportsCenter. So all that and still plenty more to come as we get it started right. Here's Charlie Wan with traffic update number one on a Friday. You have a chance to check out UTEP football today, guys?
We did. I went there. Alberto stopped by as well. It was interesting, Steve. They got off to a late start. It was like 11:30, 11:45. Actually got onto the field. They were scheduled to get started with practice at 10:30. Took a little while, but it's been grueling for them, man. This is week three right now, and you could tell. You could tell it's that week three.
Really?
Everybody is there. They're kind of fine-tuning things. And this is, you heard kind of how Coach Keaton was talking yesterday about how players were getting after it in practice, feeling extra competitive. That was the feeling like at practice today.
Well, that's good. That's kind of the feeling you want, right? That's exactly what you want to see heading into the last 2 weeks of camp.
You know, it's interesting, the comparison between the Dana Dimmel fall camp and the Scotty Walden era camp. I feel like what they're doing right now is almost preparing them for like real in-game or in-season weeks. Like a Monday is like how a Monday would be during the season. A Tuesday is a Tuesday and so on and so forth. So tomorrow is their first or one of their most significant scrimmages, Steve. Head coach Scotty Walden was saying that tomorrow they're really going to hope to iron out some of these battles that have been going on behind the scenes. I know quarterback is one that they expect to drag out all the way to the last week, but there are other battles that are going on for UTEP football, including the cornerback spot, the safety spot, the slot corner spot on defense. You look on the offensive line, they're still trying to figure out their starting five unit that they want to rock with on their offensive line. So, yeah, I mean, there's certain things, certain battles that are going on behind the scenes that are pretty interesting.
I'm sure. And that's the thing. We talk so much about quarterback because we don't know who it's going to be, that we forget that there's 10 other positions on the offensive side of the ball and 11 others on the defensive side.
I feel like if you went wide receiver, you could probably say right now in Penn, Trey Goodman's going to be your number one receiver. Number two, right behind him, and three will probably be Ashton Nickelberry, a.k.a. A.J. Nickelberry, and probably Jaden Smith, who is the Eastern Kentucky transfer. Goodman and Nickelberry were both Austin Peay transfers. At the running back spot, put it in Penn right now, it's Javon Jackson. He's going to take over that spot. On the defensive side, we know where Maurice Westmoreland's going to be. He'll be at that outside linebacker bandit. They like Trey Dunson. They like Nate Diamond in the linebacker group. Among the defensive tackles, there's some really good competition going on right now. And then for corner, the only one who's got it locked down is A.J. Odoms.
Yep.
Everybody else, Amir Boyd-Matthews and Jalen Shelton, they're going after it right now for the second cornerback spot. And the secondary should be interesting between Xavier Smith, Corey Chapman, Josiah Allen, and also, you know, maybe even getting some good stuff from Oscar Moore. So really good secondary to competition to look at.
Have they been healthy so far?
I think so. I think from what I see, I think that they are healthy. So that's all I can really say. I mean, you want your mainstays to be healthy, like A.J. Odoms and Maurice Westmoreland. Those two guys have been exceptional during camp. So I haven't really seen too many guys, you know, getting carted off or anything like that in these couple weeks.
That's a good sign. I mean, that's what you want. So you want them to be as healthy as possible heading into the start of the season. That's so important if you're a UTEP fan, especially with Nebraska 2 weeks from tomorrow. It's hard to believe 2 weeks from tomorrow, guys, we're starting the season here.
15 days. I mean, it's right here, basically. I feel like this team should probably know in the back of their head, the coaching staff should probably know what direction this is all going. I think they should probably fine-tune things like with their ones and really just run with their first team, you know, all together in these final 2 weeks. And that's just my philosophy. I wonder how this approach will be for this coaching staff. I'll reflect on the Dana Dimmel camps. You know, you saw the starters really emerge. Probably, you know, that first week of August, and they just kind of ran with those first team guys the rest of August. But I'll tell you, the way that they're working this year is much different than how they were working last year. So there you go. That's your fall camp update.
Yeah, they're completely different, aren't they? Look, not this new coaching staff. Everything about this team is different.
Last year, I would say that fall camp, you wouldn't have a lot of contact. And this is football, right? This is a gladiator sport. This is a physical and a contact sport. And there wasn't a lot of contact being made last year during fall camp. This year, there's contact. They tackle each other. They do real game scenarios and stuff like that.
Well, that's what they should be doing. Although some people are surprised that the quarterbacks wearing red jerseys and not getting hit, or are they taking shots too?
I never get to see the quarterbacks in team workouts, so I couldn't tell you certain if they're not getting hit. I would guess they're not getting hit right now, just as it stands. Coach Walden today, I was talking about Maurice Westmoreland. He said that he had like 4 straight sacks, or he was alluding to that, during one period of the practice. So he's been really, getting after the quarterback. I would doubt that he's actually hitting one of these guys.
Yeah, I would think so too, but you never know. I mean, the bigger thing is just the fact that the lines are hitting, the running backs, receivers are getting hit, and, you know, they're playing football. They should be doing.
Right. I mean, that's the philosophy. Unless you get a pile of injuries that start coming up. I think the difference with this team is that they like to think that they have depth, and they like to think that their younger players can be thrown into the mix where they can actually have success. So time will only tell, man. I want to see when pads are actually on, when the lights are on, and we can actually see this team play against somebody else.
Is the toughest thing about this right now that there is so much secrecy for practice because we have not yet seen anything until really game one? We just don't know what's happening with practice because we're not privy to being around?
Yes. The short answer is yes, because I don't know how much deception you're going to offer to your opponent, aka Nebraska, by being so secretive. I know that we're going to get a couple wrenches come August 31st and some surprises across the board. When I still hear names that I am not familiar with, I still get a little sticker shock because I feel like I have a pulse on this team. But then when you hear things like, oh, well, how about a Devin Gorree? Well, how many Miner fans know the name Devin Gorree? But he's going to be a significant contributor to the defensive line this year. And same with a guy like Brighton Thompson, who's back from last year. So there's just these like different names that you're starting to hear pop in and out of discussion, Steve. I just would like to know who's going to be the real guys, who are the guys to look out for, and who are the guys who it's going to take a little time for.
And I guess we won't know the answer to that question until August 31st.
Right. I mean, I probably won't even know the quarterback answer until August 31st definitively, right?
Yep. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. But first, let's go to Michael. He's standing by with this SportsCenter update. Story, and it's breaking news here on Sports Talk. In fact, anytime we have breaking news, it's a big deal. And I mean, let's be honest, Michael, you should have led SportsCenter off with this particular story. In fact, I can't believe you didn't, but I'm going to set the tone for everybody. You know what the breaking news would have been that you could have led SportsCenter off with?
Please don't tell me Brandon Ayuk just got traded.
No, that didn't happen. Paul Cicala has officially followed 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X.
Oh.
Yes.
That's big news.
Yes.
Okay. That's big.
Paul, welcome back, Paul. We missed you.
Friend of the program.
Big friend of the program. So, yes, that is now official. Paul Cicala has followed us on Twitter and X. Love that. And, hey, man, if you haven't followed Paul Cicala yet, do that. Give him a follow. It's at Paul Cicala. I mean, simple as that. There's no fake name, no handle, no nothing. It is just him. He's got a pink long-sleeve button-down shirt, and he is rocking it. And there it is, Paul Cicala on Twitter and X. Adrian, this makes my this is the best news we've had all day today.
Okay, but we got to get an updated profile pic, my boy Paul. That's a magenta shirt right there, and it's News 4 Tucson. We're in El Paso, my boy, and we're all friends here, so we need to change this out. And in fact, in his bio, he throws in back in El Paso, Ciudad Juarez. So let's see some an updated profile pic. He's got some good ones from KBIA. He could throw in there.
All right, yeah, we'll work on that. See what we can do. By the way. So thank you, Paul. We'll work on getting some new shots of you and your Twitter or X profile. We'll see if we can do that. Alberto, are you upset that you are not in the UTEP Fantasy League?
A little bit, yes. I just saw that. I don't know there was a sign up or something. I wanted to play too.
Apparently, Therios, Jacob, UTEP News, UTEP Zay, Felipe, Andrew, Snappy, Chi-Town Miner, Chris, Brian, Memo, and Sidelines are all in. You are not. But don't worry. Good news. Zay is representing all of us.
I believe in Zay. I think he has the wherewithal to take us the entire way, to take us to the Super Bowl.
Yes, he does. And by the way, this is good. Adrian, it says here that you've been chosen to decide the draft fate for UTEP fans fantasy football. To give a number between 1 and 100. Did you, in fact, give a number?
I did. I gave 53. I posted it from the Sun Bowl today in a quote tweet fashion. So I had to, these guys are great on social media. Guys like Jacob Matthew, guys like Snappy, these guys are the ones who are defending us or who are going after haters and stuff like that. So, I had to throw something out for them.
You're not playing in this league, are you? I thought you're scaling down in fantasy.
They asked me to, and I said no. I politely said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Alberto. I mean, you should have at least dished you off the invite or something like that, but they hit me up and I said no. But then they asked me, hey, would you just pick our random number so we have a draft order list? And I was like, easy. So
I'm amazed that you decided to go 53. Did you go a random number generator, or did you just pick 53?
I just picked 53, and I was thinking everybody else would think that I would pick 66, so I had to just do something different.
Okay, so you went with 53. There you go. Well, that's good. And I'm sorry, Alberto, you didn't get in the league. Maybe next year.
Maybe they vote out somebody like the worst person or something, and then go in.
That would be kind of cool. Maybe they do relegation like soccer.
Yeah, and then we'll have a whole nother one.
That's right. There could be two leagues.
Fantasy 1,
and whoever
fantasy
wins,
two.
Whoever wins Fantasy 2 gets bumped up into one. Fantasy 1. I
okay.
like that.
It's like now sack one, sack two.
Yes, just like sack one, sack two. You're thinking. Now you guys are thinking. I like that.
I'll be in the second one, so then I don't have to pay attention that much. Maybe that's the lower level one.
It is the lower level one. What if you don't pay attention and you still win the league and then you go up to the first one?
Oh, I like that. That would actually, okay. See, now I'm in. Then I'd be invested, Steve. Then I'd be like, all right, I won without trying. Now let me try.
Yeah.
He could sell off the ticket to the first league like the Mexican teams do.
So what you're saying is if he wins, he essentially sells somebody the opportunity to join this league.
Yes.
You do realize it's like 12 random people on Twitter that are UTEP fans, right? And this is not like, the Jeff Erickson high dollar money league that's going into fantasy sports.
Everyone's really invested, so I think it would have that ambient, okay. that environment. I think we could get it done.
Okay. Fair enough. Michael Plundo, will you be starting a league for Texas Tech sports fans the way UTEP's doing it here?
Yes, I have. I actually have a league going on with my fraternity buddies. We're actually going to draft during Labor Day weekend, so I'm just doing my homework on a couple of guys I'm on the fence about taking, so just going to continue to do my due diligence here and hopefully recover from a disastrous year.
Do you have an extra spot for Alberto?
Actually, Steve, now that you mention it, me and Alberto are in a league of our own.
Are you?
Yep.
We are.
Look at this.
And
right,
we have quite
good.
The fantasy league name, too.
Really? Yep. What is it?
It's called Dishonorable Discharge.
Oh, I like that. Dishonorable Discharge. That is good. All right. That's a good league name. Very nice. And you have enough teams in there already, right? You're good to go. Fantastic. Good for you, the two of you. I'm proud of you guys.
If we had a non you and me commissioner, Steve, the KROD fantasy football is probably, it could probably happen. It would be great on the show.
Been there, done that. We did a draft years ago at Buffalo Wild Wings. We had a live radio show. We told listeners to come in. They all drafted. We ran the draft. It was a long night. God, it was long. And then we finally finished. I forget who won that year, but we actually gave away a really cool prize. I forget what it was. It was like a couple $100, something like that. And somebody, like a gift card, somebody won the league. And I remember, though, we once did a listener fantasy football league and did a live on location draft.
Okay, could we do one internally where us four, we're all four here. We got Lane Frank 5, Sal Monta is 6, UTEP Zay 7. We're starting to build this up. Duke Keith 8, maybe. I'm just throwing him in the mix. Foss 9.
And Chris Fernandez 10.
We got 10 players right there.
You could do that.
Okay. We got to just figure out a commissioner and somebody, and then I won't care about this one either. So.
I hope Foss drafts Dak Prescott. He probably would, because if you're playing for the regular season and not the playoffs, that guy's like MVP material. So you probably, wouldn't that be great if Foss takes Prescott?
It would be so on brand. And then he would have to remind us every week when he's with us. Oh, my fantasy football player, Dak Prescott. Oh, my fantasy football player, Garrett Wilson over here.
Yes, exactly right. Although he doesn't call him Dak, he now refers to him as Dakota.
Oh, yeah, that's Dakota. Right. Yeah, Dakota Prescott.
He's the only one I've ever heard that calls him Dakota. So thank you, Foss, for that. 20 in front of 5 as we continue here on Sports Talk. By the way, I saw that video on Instagram of that woman chugging that margarita. I don't know how that hasn't gone viral. She pounded that thing when the camera was on her.
Yeah, it was funny. I thought, I guess when I first saw it, was really picking up steam, and I guess it just died. So sometimes that kind of stuff happens. But yeah, those funny video board interactions while rain delays happen or while it was pouring, that's good stuff by the Chihuahua's social team.
Was that from last night?
I would think so. I would think it was from last night. I couldn't tell you for sure.
Man, a lot of comments on that one. A lot of comments. Like, I don't know, 52 of them, apparently, in terms of this particular post. It's like one day ago. But here's the thing. It says here, you know, join us tonight as we transform into our Copa identity, the El Paso Margaritas. Buy your ticket now. Man, I don't know. Maybe this was something that happened a while back, and then they just decided to put it back on and rehash it, you know?
Very possible.
Man, she has her sunglasses on the entire time. She's starting to drip margarita down her chin, and she was focused on finishing that thing.
She was. I thought it was a pretty good form right there as far as just trying to chug it and finish it for the cam. So, yeah, we need more videos like this. These are funny. I like these when they do them.
Yep, I agree with you. Anyway, all right, we'll come back. We'll wrap up hour one of three today. Still to come, story time with Hags. We'll do that and a whole lot more. And by the way, don't we also have a special guest joining us later today?
That's right. Chapin head coach, Chevin Caldwell.
Yep, Chevin Caldwell is going to be popping in. Love that, too. So stay with us. Sports Talk continues, 600 ESPN El Paso. As we continue. All righty. Hey, by the way, who knew this would happen? More breaking news. Moments after we got done describing the epic video on Instagram of the lady drinking the margarita for the Chihuahuas, the margarita video is gone. Finished. Like, not even available. So I have questions because I'm trying to figure this out. Is it possible the video was on a 24-hour deal, and then the minute a certain time hit, it was deleted?
No, this was a post and not a story.
This was a post?
Yes, and the post itself said, rain delay equals margarita chug cam, swipe to watch. How else are you supposed to occupy yourself during a rain delay? Join us tonight as we transform our Copa identity, just like you mentioned earlier.
Oh, my God. So the minute we describe it and talk about this female fan just completely chugging a margarita to where it even started dripping down her chin, they deleted it. I'm like, come on, man. This was great. Fans, listeners wanted to see this. There were even 52 comments we couldn't access. Trying to access those as well, see what people were saying. And now it's gone. Adrian, is it possible that once some people at the Chihuahuas got wind of the fact that we were talking up this video, rather than keep it on there and get extra views, they immediately decided to cancel it.
It could be possible that somebody was listening to us. I don't know what the controversy. I'm trying to see maybe.
This is a great video.
It was a great video. Yeah.
I mean, listen, when you've got a fan who's willing to take a full, and it's, and by the way, chugging a margarita is not like chugging a beer. It's not as easy because, number one, it's much sweeter. Number two, you're dealing with a hard liquor versus, beer. I mean, this was good, and this was really good. And she did it on camera. So if she felt comfortable enough to do it on camera, why not keep that video up? That should be your margarita. That should be your margarita advertisement for the rest of the season.
Are we ruling out the possibility that her employer found it and wasn't happy about it and asked her and the Chihuahuas to remove it? And so she was, a little worried, like you were saying right there.
Yeah.
And maybe she was a little worried.
And that happened within seconds of us talking about it on air and describing it in vivid detail to exactly how, giving you play-by-play of how that chug went. Now, here's my thoughts.
Oh, man.
I don't want to feel like we have that much power to where we go on the air and on an AM sports radio show where earlier today we were talking about some other random stuff that doesn't even nobody cares about, that we just suddenly bring up some person. We didn't out her. We didn't say who she was. We didn't mention her by name. All we said was some blonde fan at the game decided to drink that margarita, and at the end, as she was finishing the chug, it started dripping down her chin as she was getting it. That was it. And now all of a sudden, it's gone. I wanted to watch it again during the break, and I couldn't find it.
Man, they went fast. They acted fast. There's a possibility that somebody was listening to the show. There's no way that this could just be a coincidence.
They took this from us, and they didn't even call. That's what frustrates me.
I know.
They're listening at the stadium, but they've never called in and told us, hey, we're listening, and they're just taking from us.
Yes, that's right. Taking. Please. She could have worked an endorsement deal with the team and been their margarita pitch person for the rest of the season. Give her the blue margarita jersey, let her hang out there with a margarita in her hand, and now all of a sudden, she goes viral.
That's right. The margarita jersey and drinking the margarita, chugging the margarita.
She might not be like Haktua viral, but still she's going to get she's going to get viral another way.
I was thinking that the same thing, but I was just not going to say it. So there you go.
And by the way, speaking of Haktua girl, the New York Mets had her throw out the first pitch yesterday afternoon before the Oakland A's game, and they are getting absolutely crushed on every media outlet known to man for giving her that opportunity and just identifying her as a viral sensation.
Did you see, this is the worst part about this story, the fact that after the A's rallied back and Seth Brown put the A's in front with a single to win the game, the first person in the press room is the Haktua girl. She's the first person. She's like fielding questions from the media. I think that fueled all of this right here.
That's true. Because how fitting was it that on the day she throws out the first pitch, the Mets give their best Haktua impersonation by blowing a 5-0 lead to the A's and losing? How great is that?
Oh, man. Oh,
perfect.
Man.
All right.
That's great.
That is terrific. All right, one down. We got 90 to go. Stay with us. It's the Michael Plundo Farewell Tour. We'll keep things moving right here as more sports talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso.
And Adrian brought us.
All right, hour number two of Sports Talk underway. Welcome back as we continue here on the program. Tevin Caldwell will be joining us here momentarily. Excited about that. This came in via Twitter and X from the Texas Truth. Thought the breaking news was going to be Alberto buying a fresh new bottle of sparkling water for his girl. Oh, nicely done. Where is he when we need him? He just walked out of the room, Truth. He just walked out of the room when you said that. I got to repeat that to him when he's back here so he'll hear that. And then we'll get his reaction. It's a great thought, man. I'm with you. with you for that one completely. So nicely done, man. Nicely done, Truth. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. That's 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X as we continue here on a Friday afternoon on Sports Talk. In fact, man, we got a lot more in store for you, and including this man who joins us next. He is the new head coach of the Chapin Huskies. And I can't believe it, but I feel like just yesterday I was talking to him as he was a member of the UTEP Miners. Man, time flies when you have Tevin Caldwell on the program. Coach, welcome back, and congratulations on the opportunity.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. It's just a surreal moment. I'm excited, man.
How many years has it been since you played at UTEP?
Let me see. I graduated 2016. That was my last year. So, yeah, about 8 years now.
Wow. So yeah. time is really flown for you. As far as, you know, your development as a basketball coach at the high school ranks, when did that start?
Let me see. As a coach, it started, even while I was playing, I was already, like, you know, getting my mind ready for, like, you know, if I did hop into coaching, I was always paying attention to Coach Floyd, Coach Carrillo when I was at Cochise. So that's when it really started. But then when I graduated, that's when I really started picking the brain of Coach Brooks, try to go to his practices and, you know, review practice plans with him and just his philosophies. Brooks, he's had the biggest influence on me as far as my coaching career.
Okay, so Coach Brooks was a big influence, although you mentioned it. Did you kind of know even during your playing days that you wanted to stay in the game as a coach after you were done playing ball?
Yes, sir. Like my last year after I finished playing, Coach Floyd offered me a graduate assistant position on his coaching staff, but I decided to take the graduate assistant position in the admin side of it. But, you know, when he asked me for that position, that really sparked something in me, like, you know, maybe I can get into coaching later on. And so that's when it really started for me.
Now, when you spent the grad time as the in the admin office, what'd you learn there?
I just learned, you know, like the paperwork side of it, you know, talking to people, networking, fundraising. So, you know, I feel ready stepping into this role, you know, because I know at the head coaching level in the high school, you got to take on a lot of hats, you know, fundraise, look over assistant coaches and the whole program. So I feel ready and confident.
Coach, I'm going back even before your UTEP days. How about your America's High School days? I know you were born in Killeen, but you got an opportunity to go to America's and graduate from America's, then play for the Miners. What was your experience like playing in high school basketball here in El Paso, and how much has it changed since when you graduated back in 2011?
Right, so a lot of people don't know that when I first moved here, I was a military kid, so I lived right down the street from Chapin, so I was supposed to go to Chapin, but my parents got a house over there by America's, so that's how I ended up at America's, but it's just been a blessing, you know, coming back home. I'm working there now, but, you know, going to be released soon, but it's just been surreal, you know, making my mark in the city and being able to give back. You know, kids, you know, I walk around the city, they remember me when I played, they were watching me. So it's a beautiful thing to just to be back home and sharing the knowledge that I've gained over the years.
I'll tell you what else is amazing. Okay. We've got Eugene Costello at Andrus. We've got Omar Thomas at Socorro, and we have Connor Tucker now at Montwood. So you think about those three, and now you join that fraternity of former Miners who are all coaching high school basketball. I think it's terrific that, you know, you're really, you think about this, okay? You're the only one of those three that played high school ball here and now is coaching high school. They all stuck around after their UTEP days were done or came back and became coaches in high school. But here you are, and I love the fact that four ex-minor players within the last 20 years, or really 25 if you count Costello, are having the opportunity now to coach against each other in the high school ranks.
Right. Yeah, so for me, it's a real, what do you call it, like a hometown hero situation, actually playing here and then, you know, going through UTEP and staying here and giving back. So I'm just glad to be a part of the UTEP bubble, because, you know, for a lot of kids, young kids, the UTEP basketball team is their NBA team. You know, that's their NBA tickets that they try to get, and, you know, seeing the players, they're the celebrities. So I'm just glad I can share with the kids that I was in their shoes here in El Paso, and they have a chance. You know, the hope is there, the dream is there, and they can obtain that goal.
Coach, let's talk a little bit about this Chapin program, because Rodney Lewis had led this program to become the power that it is right now. A lot of great talent in Northeast El Paso, including one of the premier Division I prospects that you're going to find out in Northeast El Paso with Chapin. So how did you look at it from the outside when you were interviewing for this job as just a program that you were maybe looking to coach?
Yeah, so, you know, Chapin is, I would consider a top four program in the city. So when I saw the opportunity for me to, you know, to put in for the position, you know, I already knew that I was going, if I got the position, that I was going to inherit a team that was, like, you know, already ready as far as talent wise. And I'm ready to go there and just continue on with Lewis started. He built a great legacy, a great culture there. So my plan is to go in and just keep that going. And, you know, because they have a great mentality there. They have high expectations, and I love it. So I know what I'm getting into, and I'm excited. I'm ready to get to work with the guys. I got to meet them, some of them yesterday, and they're ready to roll.
Tevin Caldwell with us here on Sports Talk as we continue. Knowing the bar that Rodney Lewis set over these last few years at Chapin and the impact he made, we know that whoever was going to have to step into this position has some pretty big shoes to fill. You seem pretty confident that you can continue right where he left off and kind of continue to grow Chapin. Do you look at this as, you know, a little pressure because of the amount of success that the Huskies have had over the years?
No, I wouldn't say any pressure at all, because, like, my measure of success is not just off of wins. It's more importantly, but the development of the player. And I'm confident in my ability to develop players, not just on the court, but in the, you know, classroom and in the community. And so that's my main focus going in, not so much the wins and losses, but the development of the player, you know, because all these kids, they have a dream to play college ball, but a lot of these kids don't understand, you know, when you get to college ball, mommy and daddy's not there, so you got to be able to take care of the classroom aspect and be able to be good in the community, not just the basketball part of it. So I'm confident in my ability for the player development part of it.
Tevin Caldwell joining us live on our Longhorn Distributing Hotline, where all of our guests always appear here on Sports Talk. He's the new head coach of the Chapin Huskies boys basketball team, and he joins us on the show right now. So you mentioned Mike Brooks and really the impact he's had on you over the years, both as a player and as a coach. Prior to going back to Americus, before you took to get the job here at Chapin, you were at Pebble Hills for 5 years. What was that experience like for you?
Oh, man, it was amazing. Just a lot of good things for me as far as, like, you know, non-basketball stuff. I live right down the street from Pebble Hills. My mom worked there. My dad worked there. It was just a good situation for me. I learned a lot. That was my first coaching gig. I was a freshman coach, started off with Arturo Escobar. He brought me in. I got to work with also Jason Morales. His dad is the freshman coach at Americas, who was my coach as a freshman. So it was just a beautiful situation to come into, knowing people around the city and just really getting a good push into this coaching career. But I'm thankful for that journey.
So with your new center in Jaden Leverett, he's considered a three-star center, 6'10". We've had him in our studios before, along with former coach Rodney Lewis. You tell us, what is your impression on him? He has picked up so much steam this offseason, garnering recent, you know, offers from the likes of Mississippi State, from former New Mexico State head coach Chris Jans, to SMU, to Utah State, to New Mexico, to everybody, it feels like, in this region.
Right, yeah, oh yeah. So I actually got to call him today just to pick his brain, get to know him a little bit more. My first impression, that he's a great kid. I mean, he's great grades, good grades, good family. Met his mom yesterday. It's just I'm excited to see his leadership. I know, you know, being an alpha dog on a team, you know, it can be easy to get a big head and think it's all about you, but he's already talking about, you know, being a great teammate and being a great leader. So that's what makes me most excited about him, just how good of a kid he is. And then, just picking his brain to ask him, you know, where does he like the ball on the court, you know, his play style, because I've seen little clips. I haven't got to see him play a full game. So I'm excited just to get to know him more, watch film with him, and just have a great year with him.
Tevin, since you've been around now a while and coaching up through the high school ranks, and you were a former standout player here locally yourself, you tell me, how much talent is there when you talk about young basketball players here in El Paso?
It's getting better. It's spreading out. City League is getting better here in the city. And, of course, what's helping out our kids is they're getting out more as far as the AAU circuit. And over the summer, you find more El Paso kids in the Dallas tournament, Vegas, Arizona. So that's helping them get exposure. So when we go, when us El Paso teams make it to playoffs, you know, we're able to hold our own because we got that exposure in the summer. But yeah, the talent is definitely getting more spread out around the city. And I'm excited to see all the competition around the city this year.
Coach, speaking of exposure, you've been exposed to a lot of different styles and systems when it comes to basketball. Over at Americas, they play a totally different brand of basketball than they do out of Chapin. So what's kind of your philosophy as far as style of play that you want to bring over with the Huskies?
Well, I can't give all my answers over the radio. You know, the enemy will get my tricks. But my main goal is to have a nice blend between what I've learned at Americas and, you know, blending that with the talent and the size that I have at Chapin, and then putting that to display, because Chapin, like you said, they have a certain brand of basketball. And then obviously at Americas, a little bit more systematic. And so I'm coming to bring a nice blend and let the guys, you know, play through that.
Will you sprinkle anything that you've been able to pick up over the years from Tim Floyd into that mixture?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I had a conversation with him last week. Definitely. It's just, you know, as you become a coach, you start to pick up little things from everybody that you learn from, that you work with. So Coach Carrillo, defensive-minded. Tim Floyd, defensive-minded. Coach Brooks, learning how to share the ball, trust the pass. So I'm, you know, taking all that in and putting it into my own, you know, my own personality, my own style, and ready to bring that to Chapin basketball.
That's terrific. And meanwhile, when you think about some of the talent El Paso's had in the last, you know, 5-6 years, we've seen national champions. We've seen players of the year. We've seen a young freshman who right now looks to be potentially even a lottery pick if he continues his development at the University of Arizona. You've got a big yourself that's Rodney Terry has visited, among others. It must be feeling good knowing that El Paso is no longer a secret, where it was hard to get your name out and have really colleges come and look for you. It seems like now they understand that they can visit this city, discover really the best players around, and that it's not going to be as tough getting the best players noticed like it was when you were playing.
Right. Yeah. So when I was playing, you know, there was no social media, Twitter, you know, to really get your name out there. Nowadays, you know, everything is out there instantly. So that's one of the main things I would be preaching to my players, is that, you know, there's someone that's always going to be watching. And then when they are watching, they're not just watching your basketball performance. They're watching your body language. You know, when things are not going well, you know, how are you leading your team when things are not going well for you? And so I'm excited to have that conversation, let them know that, you know, we are exposed now as with being in El Paso. Teams are looking at us, you know, thankful for, you know, KJ Lewis's and Tristan Newton's and now Jaden. So I would share that with any, not just my Chapin players, any player in the city. I tell them, like, you know, we're getting looked at now. So you just got to, you know, develop your whole player, you know, not just the basketball part of it, because they're looking.
Tevin, we're excited for you. Congratulations. Nothing but the best from here on out, and we'll look forward to having you back on the show during basketball season and getting a chance to talk more Chapin Huskies hoops with you.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. God bless you guys.
You as well. He's Tevin Caldwell, folks, brand new head coach of the Chapin Huskies, and he joins us live here on Sports Talk as we continue. 19 past the hour. More in a moment as we send it off to Charlie One. He's got a traffic update for us here on Sports Talk as we continue. Ah, all right. I learned something today from Five Points Guy. He said, Steve, I'm 6'3 in my license, and I put 6'4. I guess that's a message to the Alberto 5'8 versus 5'6 in the dating app. So, but he also said that, did you know on your driver's license, you can put any height and they won't check it? I did not know that from Five Points Guy.
So why would you ever put like a 5? Just if you're like 5'10, 5'11, just round up. Just go 6, right?
Yes. Don't you agree?
I most definitely agree. I will be filing for a new one soon. I'm just going to put 6 feet.
Okay, you will. So you're going to go full 6.
I'm going to go full 6 feet.
All right. That's good. And by the way, I mean, have you ever heard of like getting pulled over by a cop? And then when they take you out of a police officer, I should say, when they take you out of the car, the first thing they look at is your driver's license, and they look at you and they go, come on, man. This isn't you. Who's this really? And then you say, sorry, officer, you can put any height. You can put any height on there. I wanted to go 6 feet.
I dream myself of being 6 feet. So no, I think they would get really angry, and it would land me in further trouble. So I don't want to do that. I'm looking for a picture of my driver's license that I just took to see how tall I'm listed at, but I can't find it.
This came earlier from the text Truth. You had left the room. He said that thought the breaking news was going to be Alberto buying a fresh new bottle of sparkling water for his girl.
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not.
Well,
I'm sorry, man. Hopefully soon that happens so that the masses can get the masses will be pleased when I buy a water bottle. I don't even like sparkling water. It's gross.
No, you're not into sparkling water?
Not really.
You don't like drinking like a vodka soda?
Not really.
Really?
No.
All right. Do you drink much alcohol or not really?
No, you know what? Since I don't eat like a whole lot, I can't be drinking a whole lot.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, do you not eat a whole lot because you have no money, or do you not eat a whole lot because you just don't believe in it?
I just don't believe in it. No. I get around it. Just I'd be forgetting and. Yeah.
How do you forget to eat? Like that's one of those things.
Busy.
I mean, usually when I forget to do certain things, eating is not one of them. I mean, how do you do that?
It just escapes my mind, honestly. Sometimes.
Really?
Sometimes, yeah.
Plundo, can you relate to this?
A little bit. I eat a lot. I just don't. I just don't drink a lot. That's the only difference. But me and Alberto, based on what he's told me, we're kind of similar in some senses. But I would say there's that one little tactic there we're very different in.
Okay. That's true. Adrian is probably, I mean, you and I are about the same when it comes to drinking. We're social drinkers more than everything else. We don't really, you know, try to knock it all down after we get off the air immediately. But, you know, this is a room that doesn't really have a lot of drinkers. It's not a huge, fraternity in that regard.
Yeah, I feel like we're not at that stage. I feel like all of us either went through a phase or maybe in Michael's case, we'll go through a phase like that where maybe, you know, you're throwing it back on a weeknight and it's all good and stuff like that.
True.
But at this stage right now in all of our lives, we're just not there. We're not in that era. We're not in the drinking era.
Yeah, I understand. It's okay, though. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, as long as you just go out and have fun, you can do it no matter what. Drink water. I mean, you don't even have to drink sparkling water. You could drink regular water.
Yeah, my experience, though, is when you go to a bar and you're continuously ordering water, they stop coming around to you because they're like, this dude's only getting water. He's like not even going to tip. And
what if you tip every time you get a water? See, that's another thing I don't understand, okay? Let me ask you this. You're at a bar. A server is bringing you something, or a bartender at the bar is delivering you a beverage, whether it is an alcoholic beverage or a non-alcoholic beverage. They're doing the same job regardless. So even if you decide you want to drink water and not beer or a vodka soda or any other mixed drink, why not leave them a dollar tip every time they bring you something?
So you want me to have singles on me?
Yes.
So that every time I order a water, every single time, boom, boom, boom.
100%.
Look,
why
this would work. Let me tell you this.
Yeah.
This would work if they didn't serve you water in these tiny little cups and then filled it up with ice, I'm done in one sip. It happens every time.
They don't all do that.
You
know what?
I'm not going to put anyone on blast.
Okay, then do this. Next time you go someplace, say, you know what? I'd like a pint glass with some ice water.
Thank you.
And order it like that. And when they bring it to you, tip them a dollar or two. And I got news for you. The next time you want it filled, they're not going to look at you like you're some cheap bastard. They'll come back and take care of that for you because they'll know that they got a couple bucks waiting for them.
You learn something new every day.
How is that? This is not rocket science.
You could be the $2 bill guy, Alberto. Yeah. You could pull just pull like at least like 8 $2 bills, go to the bank and ask them to give you the $2 bills. Then you're the $2 bill guy. You go first with the $2 bill. That strikes a conversation that might help out with the dating side of things too. And then at the end of the night for that last ice water, you give one last $2 bill.
I don't know about that. Okay? $2 bills are also associated with Gentlemen's Club, and then they might look at then they might look at Alberto as a little weird that he's throwing out the twos instead of the ones. So
I've never heard that.
Oh yeah, yes.
Here in Obezo?
Yeah.
Oh, since I don't be frequenting those establishments, I wouldn't know.
I haven't gone back. I haven't been to one in how long has my brother been? All right, it's been at least like 15, 16 years since I've been to one. And it wasn't even in El Paso. It was out of town for a bachelor party, okay? So I can't really tell you what El Paso's like now because I'm living in basically a time machine to the, late 2000s. But I could just tell you back in those days, if you had twos, that's where they were going to. And I love the fact that of all the people that was talking about twos, it's Adrian. That's fantastic. Hang on one second. Hang on, everybody. Yeah, this is true. We now have breaking news. Breaking news on Sports Talk. Adrian Broaddus is dropping twos out of nowhere here on the show today.
You know, the twos, I'm looking it up right now, known also for good luck. So all you have to do is just quickly preface it. This is for good luck.
My brother-in-law, who was in the service industry for many years, texts into Sports Talk and says, getting a $2 bill as a tip sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. If you're getting an ice water and you're tipping $2 for ice water, then that at least shows the server you're not there drinking water trying to scam and get everything for nothing. So the point is, if you're saying that part of the reason you don't feel like you get served is because, well, you're drinking water and they give you some crappy cup, ask for a larger cup. Just ask for a large glass of ice water. Tip them a couple bucks. They'll be happy. And then if you want more, just tip them again.
In principle, in theory, your idea makes sense. But then like when you boil it down to what it is, it's like, Steve, you're asking me to pay $2 every time I need a cup of water. It's like, that's not going to happen. Come on, take a look at me. That's not going to happen.
First off, let me ask you this. How much water are you going to drink in one night at a bar?
Well,
a glass is 16 ounces of water. What, are you going to drink 100 ounces of water in a night? You'd be peeing all night and going to the bathroom, and that's it. You're going to be in the urinal all night.
That does happen. I'll start drinking a lot of water, and I'll start having to go to the bathroom. But
you break the seal.
Yeah, and then it's just going and going. But
you don't want to break the seal. I get you.
I will get into habits of going out to different local bars here close to my house. Mm-hmm. And then catching a beer, and then going home, just one or two, and going home.
That's it.
Yeah.
So you know your limits.
Yeah, and also it's just...
How much is a beer when you go out? Was it about $5-6?
Each, yeah.
That's three waters with tips for the same price as a beer. So think of it that way. Now, you're tipping the same amount of money for three of those waters that you would for one beer, and you'll probably be a lot happier at the end of the night because you won't be out so much money.
Yeah, I guess that's definitely the way I need to go about it.
Then you can buy a girl a water, too, and throw another couple of dollars down. Now you're really rolling in dough, man. Now you're playing with some fire there.
Like a Playboy.
Yes.
Order two waters, take one over to a lovely young lady.
Yeah, you're a Mac water daddy.
I think that could really work. I would be like the person advocating you don't drink anymore.
There you go.
That's the annoying person at the bar.
No, not necessarily. So, you know what? There could be others that are non-drinkers, just like you.
And designated drivers.
Yeah, next thing you know, love is in the air. Who knows? All right. 34 past the hour. Let's get back to Michael. He's standing by with this SportsCenter update. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate that. This came from Five Points Guy also on our 600 ESPN El Paso app. Hey, Steve, what my old coach used to do, he would put $10 and ones on the table. Every time the server messed up or forgot to bring him something, he would take away a dollar. See, that's – I don't like that either. There's there's a lot of pressure on that.
Yeah.
That's kind of the worst situation ever where somebody sees the tip and now knows that every time they screw up or something happens, they lose a dollar. I mean, that's rough, man. I wouldn't do that to somebody. Now you're playing mind games with servers, and that's the worst.
Yeah, actually, now we need a PSA on tipping here on this show. You know, our servers all across, I get it. There's some times where the servers don't do a great job, but for the most part, they're there for you. And so for the most part, they're making really low hourly rates. So tip them well. I mean, tip them well, everybody. Like, the $5 that you used to tip a couple years ago doesn't go the same way nowadays.
I try to, I mean, for the most part now, I feel like most people now will tip 18 to 20%. That's kind of standard these days. It used to be 15%. I feel like now most people will try to go a little higher than that and get to 20.
There are some, I won't say names, but there are some people that I work with on this radio show in smaller capacities who are not in our age group, everybody included, in a higher age group, who do not follow those rules, Steve. And I would say to those people, like, hey, man, you know, like, it's just different now. We got to make sure that we take care of our servers.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you're dropping serious news today. First, you threw the $2 bill story out, and now you're dropping dirt on the other employees around here.
Yes, but I got to call them out on it, man. We got to make sure we're tipping our servers correctly.
Yep, and then when you try to add money, they get offended and feel like, well, what are you showing me up for?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, no, this is for the person right there. I'm not trying to, you know, make a show over here or anything like that. This is legitimately or genuinely for somebody who's working over here. Let's be courteous.
No, you're right. 38 past the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk 505-6009. That is our telephone number to get into the show. That's 505-6009. And unfortunately, I guess that's just what happens sometimes, right? People, I don't know. It's a shame, and it shouldn't be that way. Should not be that way. Ugh. All right. Well, sometimes, unfortunately, that's the case. Hey, by the way, want to congratulate the class of 2024 for the El Paso Baseball Hall of Fame. The banquet is this Sunday at the Wyndham Hotel. And you're talking about Chuck Heist, who played professionally in the minor leagues, Omar Quintanilla, who, by the way, this is really cool. It's not only did he spend time in the big leagues, but he's also getting inducted into the Texas Longhorns Hall of Honor later in the summer.
Wow, that's really huge, cool, man. But you think of all the players just quickly that he and talent that he's brought to Texas, you know, as an alum, not even working on staff. That's pretty cool.
Plus Fernie Rodriguez, who pitched in the big leagues for years. Hector Bernal, who played professionally in the minor leagues. This is like the most loaded class ever for the El Paso Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I love the El Paso Baseball Hall of Fame. They always do it right every year. And there are some stellar names across the board that you just mentioned right there, Steve, that made such an impact here in El Paso and really all across the country, you could say.
Well, let's put it this way. I mean, you've got four people who all played either minor league or major league ball. Omar had a terrific career in the big leagues, and so did Fernie. I mean, that's great that those two are getting honored along with Chuck Heist and Hector Bernal Jr. It's a really, really solid crew. Also, Rene Solis from Isleta High School, the El Paso Baseball Hall of Fame High School Coach of the Year. Gilbert Sines, the Senior Player of the Year. Diego Cardenas from EPCC, the College Player of the Year. And Evan Martinez from Isleta, the High School Player of the Year. A lot of good awards given out this Sunday. The banquet will be starting at 2:17 p.m.
It's so cool. I mean, you
at the Wyndham Hotel.
I'll just say the fact that, you know, you have pro baseball players in this list. You have coaches. You have players who play at the highest level of D1 college. So what a star-studded class.
It is. Do we know the significance of 2:17 for the start of the banquet?
No. Let me check their website. Maybe they have some info there.
I'd like to know what that is. That is still pretty great. But man, oh, man. Good group. love the fact that everybody's getting the opportunity and going to be honored on that one. All right. Hey, 20 in front of six as we continue here on Sports Talk. When we come back, our Football Friday Night Fall Countdown continues, brought to you by EPCC. Yesterday, the Coronado T-Birds. Today, we stay on the west side of town. We'll talk about that next, right here, 600 ESPN El Paso. Past the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk. All right, folks. Our Football Friday Night Fall Football Countdown continues, brought to you by El Paso Community College. Just a reminder, folks, tomorrow you can head on down to the Valle Verde campus between starting at 10 a.m. The first 90 students who come in person to Valle Verde and register full-time, which means 12 hours or more, are going to receive a book voucher for up to $500. This is a terrific deal. The reason they're doing this, by the way, is to kick off the extended hours. That's also really cool because we are talking about 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in person, and that's going to be on Saturdays and then weekdays until 7 p.m. That starts Monday through the 27th until 7 p.m. Lots of great ways, Adrian, to register for the fall semester at El Paso Community College.
Yeah, and if you're unable to make it in person, just check out epcc.com.edu, and that's the best way to do it, epcc.edu. It's the best way to get all the information. And by the way, think about this. We talk a lot of sports on this show. For all the high school athletes, the parents of high school athletes out there, EPCC offers baseball, softball, and even cross country. They're one of the most recognized cross country programs in the country. So that's something to keep in mind as well. That maybe you could earn a academic or an athletic scholarship out to El Paso Community College.
Could you imagine how good that would be? How great people would love that. Scholarships? Are you kidding? All right, let's talk about the school of note, and that would be your Franklin Cougars, Adrian. Your Franklin Cougars, because that is your alma mater. That's the school that you went to, you attended. And look, hey, Franklin is a program that I think a lot of fans would like to see, turn things around. But you went on the air and actually said that you just didn't think it could happen this year for Franklin.
So I think it's going to be a bit of a rebuild season for the Cougars this year. However, when you talk about a head coach and a legendary head coach like Darren Walker, it's unfair to even think of the word rebuild. But the reason why I'm saying that is you lose such a great quarterback like Shea Smith from last year. Last season, they lost so many different talents, from guys going out to injuries to younger players needing to step up. But the mainstay, the guy who remained consistent last year, was Shea Smith, who helped them in close battles, even helped them win a Westside Bowl game that, Coronado probably should have won. But an undermanned group led by Shea Smith, they were able to get it done. Franklin's current best player is on the offensive line in Justin Morales, and he is somebody who's picking up Power 4 offers galore. In fact, Arkansas has thrown an offer his way. He has offers from the likes of Utah. UTEP's in the mix as well, but Morales' family has done great things on the West Side for Franklin, and now it's time to really see what Justin Morales could do in his final season with this group. I'm a fan of guys like the Powers brothers. You have Ernie Powers, who's coming off an injury last year, who's going to be the starting running back, a top junior, and then you also have Patrick Powers, who's a sophomore, incoming sophomore, by the way, wide receiver. So you have talent at the skill position players, you have good defense, you have strong trenches in that offensive line and defensive line. The biggest question is, who's going to be the quarterback? Who's going to be the signal caller who takes him over the top? And if this team looks completely different than any Franklin team that we've seen, and I'm talking about just running the football, I wouldn't be that surprised. I think this is a run-first team as far as offense goes.
All right, so playmakers are important, and I guess when you still, are waiting for that quarterback, it kind of, worries you a little bit, let's be honest.
Yeah, in high school, the quarterback is such an important position, it goes without saying, and so maybe they throw one of their guys who is just kind of an all-around athlete at that spot, or maybe they have a younger player at that spot. Remember, Shea Smith was a starter as a freshman during that pandemic-shortened season for the Cougars, so anything's possible with them.
Again, sponsored by El Paso Community College, folks, and tomorrow, Valle Verde, starting at 10 a.m., that is your place to be. Excited about fall semester starting at EPCC. All right. Meanwhile, we got about a minute left to go here in hour number two. You guys excited about a little preseason football this weekend? Cowboys and Raiders coming up on our partner station, KLAQ.
That would be very exciting. We get a chance to see Trey Lance round two for the Cowboys to see if it's better than round one. Couldn't close the deal, couldn't seal the deal against the Los Angeles Rams. See if any other names are out there, including CeeDee Lamb, which, you know, maybe they do get the deal done. And maybe he is on the sidelines to make fans excited. And then on the other side, a lot of Raider fans in El Paso, Steve, they have a quarterback decision to make eventually. Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew, who they go with.
I'll tell you what, if I was the Raiders, I want to see more from Aiden O'Connell. I do. I like Aiden O'Connell. I think he's got a nice future. You already know what Minshew magic is going to bring you, so it's kind of like Fitz magic, same thing. Yeah. You know, the mustache has power. It does.
And look at Cade McConnell. He's got that. He's rocking that mustache right now.
Well, he hasn't shaved after I pointed out that he looked like dodgeball.
In fact, he's grown out it even more.
And really?
Yeah, and he's got the stubble around. So, you know, I don't know how many hours Cade McConnell's sleeping nowadays, or these days, I should say.
Maybe he's not sleeping at all.
Maybe that's the case. He's focused on that starting quarterback job.
Dallas Cowboys update with Christy Scales is coming up next, and then our final 30 minutes, which will include story time with Hags, coming up here in our 6 o'clock hour as well. Plus, Win the West t-shirts. We'll tell you about it. Sports Talk continues, 600 ESPN El Paso.
Here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Add to that mix Alberto Dueta and Michael Plundo for the last time, and you have Sports Talk. Good to have you back. 600 ESPN El Paso, 505-6009. That's our telephone number. So we've got no football games tonight. The Eagles beat the Patriots 14-13 yesterday. And, you know, no huge storylines out of that game.
Nothing really. I was watching the tail end of it and a little bit of the beginning. The one thing I noticed, here's your UTEP twist to that game. Jeremy Springer is now the special teams coordinator for Gerard Mayo and the New England Patriots. How about that one right there?
It's good stuff. I still remember Jeremy when he was playing linebacker for UTEP. You know, he came up as a quarterback.
I didn't know that. And switched
positions.
That's cool. He was a mainstay. Now, we were asking this yesterday. He was a Price guy, right? Like,
yes.
Late Price, right?
Yes.
Okay, correct.
Went from Price and then a holdover to the Kugler era.
Nice, okay. Early 2010s.
Yeah, exactly right. Drake May scored a touchdown run for the Patriots yesterday. He was also 6 of 11 for 47 yards. Nobody threw the ball well. Do you know the Patriots in the game? 14 of 29 for 90 yards.
That's disgraceful. God. Joe Milton III, though, his stats won't look good because all his receivers are dropping passes. But he has some talent, man. The Tennessee product, they loved him for his arm strength. But, yeah, I could see it with him. He's got NFL talent.
Bailey Zappi was 3 of 4 for 29 yards. I think Bailey Zappi gets released.
They should at least trade him. He's started games under his belt. He's played games. So with how many teams need quarterbacks, they could at least get a seventh rounder or maybe a conditional pick for him.
Poor Kenny Pickett. He was 11 of 13 for 67 yards and was sacked 4 times.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett, that guy owes me a big apology after the stuff I said about him last year. I was very hopeful that he was going to be the heir apparent to Ben, and that didn't work out. Over 24 career games, his highest touchdowns was 2. He couldn't even eclipse over 250 yards, so what a disappointment that was.
Well, first off, I've got a bet with Lane Frank, and that's going to be who's going to have a better career. And this has turned into a real, you know, turd of a bet. Let's be honest. It's Kenny Pickett versus Sam Darnold.
I don't know. I mean, Sam Darnold, I think, is having the better odds right now. I know you don't want to hear that, Steve, but Sam Darnold's going to get a good chance this year. He's got you know, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, and Jordan Addison as his weapons. So who knows? Maybe he can do something. Maybe he can find some winning form, and maybe, you know, if he plays good enough this year, he can probably get maybe a better opportunity elsewhere next offseason. But as far as Kenny Pickett goes, I mean, he's going to have to – he's not even guaranteed to be the backup to Jalen Hurts. I mean, that's not even a guarantee. So we'll really see where Pickett goes in his career.
By the way, if that happens like you just predicted, I lose the bet. So I don't want – I'm rooting against that happening. I don't want to see Sam Darnold outshine Kenny Pickett. I took Pickett, not Darnold.
How crazy would it be if the Vikings traded for Pickett and then we get to see it in full display
on
one team?
That'd be the greatest.
It's not out of the realm of possibility, knowing that the Vikings don't really have a backup option besides Darnold. And then you look at the Eagles. Well, they have Tanner McKee, who was okay with the Stanford Cardinals, so that might be a serviceable backup.
I mean, that's true. Remember, they just signed Matt Corral. The Vikings did today,
true.
And that doesn't give me any hope.
No, not at all. So you trade a seventh rounder for Kenny Pickett, just get him to battle up against Sam Darnold, then we could really have the bet in full display.
That would be interesting. It really would. Since this is the last show until we get the return of Michael Plundo, Michael, are there any sports topics today that we have not hit on that you want to talk about before we get to story time?
Well, before we get to story time, why don't we go ahead and make some predictions here? Where do we think Brandon Ayuk is going to go? Do we think he's going to stay a Niner? Do we think he's going to get traded to the Steelers? And if he does get traded to the Steelers, how much do you think the Steelers are going to pay him?
Okay, I will go with he stays a Niner. Originally, I said there's no chance it's going to happen. I feel like they have some. I feel like the Niners have some heat right now. They're feeling heat from their fan base. I feel like they're going to go ahead and work a deal out and keep him. So I will just go in that part of it. How about the two of you? Where do you guys think?
I'm going to go with a completely different team aside from the Steelers and aside from the 49ers. I think one of the Browns or Patriots regained some momentum over the weekend. This is done, and he is not a Niner moving forward. So I'll say Ayuk goes away.
For what? What do you think is going to happen? Are the Steelers going to get him, and what's the package going to be?
So I will say the Steelers already have the package out there, but maybe it's not enough, and maybe the Browns or the Patriots get desperate. I mean, the Patriots, after yesterday, get really desperate, knowing that they don't have a number one receiver. They have a lot of receivers who are dropping passes, and they just throw in a second rounder, or they throw in a third round pick. And if I'm, the Niners, I think that's enough. I think the Patriots are going to be a really bad team this year, so that pick could end up being pretty valuable.
I was under the impression that you could kind of created a list of teams he wanted to go to because they were contenders. So the whole thing that going to the Patriots, that doesn't make sense to me because they're not contenders. I think that, like we've said, the deal is done to go to the Steelers. It's probably not as much money as he wants, and you're also not going to get to the Super Bowl again. To me, it's a no-brainer. Stay with the 49ers, but he'll probably end up leaving, going to the Steelers for less money and never going to another Super Bowl again.
Not if the 49ers, where they have to pay him because they realize if... See, here's the cool thing about the 49ers. They know what their team looks like without him. And they might decide, you know what? We can't... we love Jacob Cowing. We think he's going to be really good. We like our rookies, but not yet. We need Ayuk to stick around.
If I had to choose between Debo, Christian McCaffrey, Ayuk, or put a priority list in order, Ayuk's the odd man out. I'm sorry. Debo gives you the switchblade that you need, the jack of all trades that you need at both the wide receiver and maybe taking some carries for you. And then Christian McCaffrey is still the best running back in the league, at least right now when he's healthy. So those are I'm prioritizing those skill position players if I'm the Niners.
Okay. I get it. I just don't know what they're going to get back in trade value from Pittsburgh. Have we heard any of the details?
Reportedly, there have been reports that the Steelers have offered a second-round pick in the upcoming draft for 2025 and a late-round pick in the 2025 draft, and there was also reports that the Niners wanted to get a quality player in return. Some names that were being thrown out there were Minkah Fitzpatrick and Steelers right guard James Daniels. I don't think the Steelers would ever trade away Minkah. I don't think I think Omar Khan is going to hang up the phone right away if John Lynch were to ask for that, but As far as predictions goes, I'm going to say he stays with the Niners. They seem to be gaining traction on extension talks. And I think Ayuk really wants to be there. I mean, he was at practice the other day. He was, you know, dabbing it up with teammates, Debo Samuel, George Kittle. And even Debo today came on an interview and said that, you know, Ayuk is going to be a part of this team no matter what, and don't worry about it. So I think it just makes all too much too sense for him to say, and I think that's going to be the case.
Michael, who's your Super Bowl winner this year?
My Super Bowl, it's funny because we're talking about them right now. My prediction for the Super Bowl was the Houston Texans and the San Francisco Niners, and I think the Niners are finally going to break the curse. I think Kyle Shanahan is finally going to be a Super Bowl winning coach, and I think they get it done this year. I think the team is still replica to last year, and I still think they're going to be very dominant.
Does Brock Purdy take the next step?
I think so. I think he's in a great situation. I've always thought of Kyle Shanahan as the, you know, quarterback whisperer and the guy that can really just make a system beneficial to any quarterback. Look at what he did with Jimmy Garoppolo. They ended up going to the Super Bowl. They were up by 10 with 10 minutes late in the fourth quarter. We all know what happened there. But the fact that they even got there with Jimmy G under center and knowing the type of quarterback he is now, I mean, it just goes to show you how good of a coach Shanahan is. And Purdy, with the elite weaponry he has, you know, despite what happens with Ayuk, he's still got George Kittle to work with, CMC in the backfield, and Debo Samuel, a very stout offensive line led by Trent Williams, and a defense that's just amazing with Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. So I don't see why this, I don't see a reason why this team won't be back in the Super Bowl.
I'll say this: if they go to the Super Bowl and win, and it's Brock Purdy under center, he'll be making $50 million. I mean, that's just what it comes down to, because they're going to have to pay the man. And you're going to go from Mr. Irrelevant to a $50 million quarterback. That would be huge if you're a 49er fan. And I don't think there'd be any doubts whatsoever by the 49er faithful if they realized that Brock Purdy was to take this team to back-to-back Super Bowls and break through and win this time around.
Absolutely, and knowing the quarterback market around, so it's really not going to be surprising to see Purdy get that type of contract. I mean, look at guys like Trevor Lawrence, that's getting $53 million per year. Herbert's getting, I think, around that. Daniel Jones at $40 million a year. So Brock Purdy is definitely going to get a big boy contract. It's just a matter of when.
Hey, last 49er nugget right here. And I absolutely hate the 49ers, by the way, as
you're
a Rams fan.
Sure.
Yeah. Jake Moody gave a great shout-out to the city of El Paso kicker for the San Francisco 49ers. It was posted by FitFam today on Instagram. I loved the shout-out. He was saying how Jake Moody was saying how El Paso is divided. There are Cowboy fans in El Paso. There are 49er fans, and so he was giving a big shout out to all San Francisco fans, which I thought was pretty cool. I wonder who Jake Moody knows here in El Paso, or how he caught wind of this to give that video shout out.
Yeah, I was going to ask you the same question. How in the heck did that happen, and how did FitFam get a hold of that?
Yeah, I wonder. I feel like it had to have been somebody who knows Jake Moody, or something along those lines. I wonder if he has any ties to Texas or anything like that, but not too familiar with what the kind of relation is between Moody and El Paso.
All right, let's listen into this. So in case you missed it, this was Jake Moody's message to El Paso earlier today.
Everybody, this is Jake Moody, the kicker for the 49ers. I just wanted to give a huge shout out to El Paso, Texas. Heard that you guys got a solid split of Cowboys and Niners fans. And I just wanted to say good luck to everybody this season, except for the Cowboys fans. Go Niners.
It could be Jacob Cowing.
Oh, you know what? I never thought about that. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it would make the most sense right there if it was Cowing who was like, hey, by the way, you know El Paso a lot. And then Cowing's got, you know, El Paso friends who are like, hey, give us a shout out. And so, yeah, it instead ends up being Jake Moody. Maybe that was the case.
Okay. Let's take the time out. When we come back, we're going to play Story Time with Hags. I do want to give people a chance to win a Win the West t-shirt right now, courtesy of the Oscar Arrieta Agency. First person through at 505-6009, that's 505-6009, and can answer this, will win the shirt. Scotty Walden has different sayings for the football team, such as Win the West, hence the t-shirt. Tell us the UTEP offense, defense, and special teams names referred to as by Coach Scotty Walden. So if you could tell us what he calls the UTEP offense, the defense, and special teams, you're going to win the t-shirt. 505-6009. First caller through wins as we wrap it up next with story time.